Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
If you'd open up your sermon, your bulletin, you'll find a copy of this morning's notes that you can follow along in our message. Last week, we ended a series by talking about what it means to live a blessed life, why God blesses us and what we are to do with that. And today we want to talk about what does it mean for us as a gathering of believers in Jesus to gather together to bring our lives together in such a way that we create a church. And how does a church that is blessed, that is filled with people that are joyful about what God is doing, draw together as a community and become a church for all ages? Now, there's a couple of ways that you can take that. You can say a church that goes on ad infinitum, a church down through the ages, through the years. Or you can think about it, a church that speaks to different generations, that speaks to the ages, to the young and to the old as well. How do we cross those barriers? And primarily it begins by what your definition is of a church. What does a church mean to you? Maybe when you think of church, you think of where you grew up, what it was like when you were a child, you went to church, there was a church community. Maybe when you think of a church, you think of the building, or of the location, or some experience that you had as a teen of that awakened you to God's presence and to all of the possibilities, a place where you were able to flourish and discover more about yourself in a community of love and faithfulness. Your definition will help shape who you are, and particularly as we move forward, who we become. So I want to throw this out as a beginning place. A church is a group of people who are saved by God's Son, who are shaped by God's Word, and who are serving as God's emissaries. We are gathered together because we're saved by God's Son. We have been put on a different path. We have moved from a path of self-centeredness to one of God-centered. We are saved. We've been had our eyes opened, and we have chosen freely to move down that path. As a result, we are different than other social organizations. What makes us different than other social or civic organizations? We are people who have chosen to be shaped by the Word. We have accepted it as an authority, and we shape our lives according to the Word of God. And as a result, we take on for ourselves as emissaries. Now, the Bible, Paul particularly talks about, we have become ambassadors of Christ. We become the expression, the body of Christ. But as emissaries are people that have been given a special message or a special task by a leader or a king, and they were to go and deliver that message. We have a message that we need to share. We serve God, and we share that message wherever we are led. Now, there's a lot of other things that you might imagine a church would be and do, and I understand that. But let's use this as a beginning point. Now, when Paul was beginning his ministry, he went around through Macedonia, through Greece, and he started developing churches. And it's almost, as soon as Paul began a church in Corinth or Ephesus or Thessalonica, as soon as he began a church and he moved on, within months, factions, conflict began to develop. And Paul recognized that there's something about us that makes that happen. And he had to continue to write to try and bring them back into a sense of unity before it just all fell apart. 1 Corinthians is a story about Paul reaching out to a community that he loved to try to draw them back together again. It's a letter that has survived almost 2,000 years because it speaks to something very fundamental about the body of Christ, about our ability to have an impact on our world, to share the values and the virtues that we hold dear. And so we're going to take a look at Paul's letter, and especially about considering how do we become the church that is truly blessed and that can be a blessing to others. How are we participating in that story? So this morning we're going to open up and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and allow it to speak to us about who we are and who we're becoming. Will you join with me as we center our lives on God's Word? This is God's Word for my life in this place and at this time. Today I'm a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know He has a purpose for my life. Listen to the Apostle Paul speak to us this morning. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, and another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? After all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task, I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's fields, God's building. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, we have gathered as your church to be reminded of your presence among us. And we pray, oh God, that you continue to pour out your Spirit upon our hearts and upon our ears. In Jesus' name, amen. What does church mean to you? What binds you together as a community? If you look at a really kind of a technical definition, the Latin word for church is ecclesia. And it comes from the Greek ek, and which means out, and kaleo, which means to call. The church is the people of God called out of slavery to freedom, sin to salvation, from despair to hope, darkness to light. We are called to an existence centered not on wants, but focused on gifts. When we think about who we are, a fundamental decision has to be made. Are we called out of the world, behind the walls, in this sanctuary, or are we being called into something else? If we think about the church in terms of what the original definition, we said we are saved by Christ, we are shaped by the Word so that we can be emissaries of God's message. We are called out of the world, but then we are sent right back into it in order to share what we have and what we have become. Now, in Paul's world, Paul recognizes that he gets a message from Cleo's household that there are divisions that are occurring within the Corinthians, that some are saying that they belong to Paul and some belong to Apollos and some belong to Cephas or the Apostle Peter. And this letter has shaped the church's understanding and our understanding of who we are for the last two millennia. Paul identifies a faction that is based on these three personalities. Now, the question that we have to ask is, in Corinth, why did these factions, this division, occur? And I think primarily because they had lost their sense of vision, their sense of who we are and what we can become. And as a result, they became competitive. Divisions occur through a competitive spirit, that some clique or some group looks at another and they start looking and saying, but we are like this, we're not like that. And there's a competitiveness that Paul has to deal with because he recognizes that within the body of Christ, as soon as we become competitive within ourselves, we have missed the mark of what God is doing. And so he identifies these three characters. He identifies, some people are saying, I belong to Paul, some Apollos, and some belong to Cephas. And I want to think about how that shapes even how we perceive our role within the church. Who is Paul? Paul is the founder of the Corinthian church. He is the established one. He is the founder. He is the one that said, do you remember the way Paul did it? Do you remember the good old days? Give me that good old time Pauline religion. Why can't we do it the way Paul did it? I belong to Paul. Okay? Well, then I imagine that after Paul left, in came a guy by the name of Apollos. Apollos was a Greek. And so he spoke the Greek language. He understood the Greek culture. He understood the metaphors that the Greeks would understand. So when Apollos came, he spoke their language. He interacted with them in a dynamic, energized way. He engaged them in that culture and in their style. And some people said, I love that style. I belong to Apollos. That's who I am. And if you don't mind, Cephas or the Apostle Paul rolls in. Now, I can only imagine that if the Apostle Paul, if the Apostle Peter showed up and he said, I was there, I heard these, and I saw these miracles, I was there, and I saw the redemption. I imagine Peter going around as a superstar, right? He was the mega church leader. He was writing books. He was doing seminars. When he came to town, people wanted his autograph. And so when Peter came in, people said, I belong to Peter because he's the one who knows. And all of a sudden you have within God's own family, I belong to Paul. And one says, no, but I belong to Apollos. And the other one said, but I belong to Peter. And then Paul adds that list, that little last group. One little group said, but I belong to Christ. And there are times in Paul's writings where Paul's letters almost give you a sense of utter exasperation with his people. And you get a sense of Paul just smacking his forehead. He said, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into Paul's name? And so wherever you find factions developing, you find a spirit of competitiveness, our side against your side. You get a sense that Christ has been divided. You've split him up into the sections that you enjoy, that you like. And so Paul needs to reunite this church. He needs to reunite the people and remind them what it is that they are and who they are. And so as we look at this letter this morning, we want to focus on a couple of things that Paul is sharing. He says, the first thing that you have to understand about who all of us are is that we all have an assignment. That we're all co-workers. He said, who's Paul? Who's Apollos? Who's Peter? Who are you? We all have a part to play because we're all co-workers. And he uses this imagery of saying we're builders in God's house. He said, Paul planted a seed, Apollos watered it, but who made it grow? He said, we're just co-laborers with you. We are in chapter 12 of Corinthians, Paul talks about how we're all part of the body. The hand can't say to the body, I don't want to have anything to do with you. It ceases to exist. We need each other, and we are co-workers together. The fundamental truth about the church is we all have a part to play. What is your part? What role do you have to play in the life of the church? Its commitment and its health, its vitality. We all have an assignment. He recognizes that we're all interrelated. We're all interdependent. He says, when you're building a house, there are people that need to put up the frame. There's some that put up the frame, but if that's all you have, you need plumbing and you need an electrician. We all need one another. I love this quote by Martin Luther King from his letter from a Birmingham jail. He says, whatever affects one affects all indirectly. I can never be what I ought to be until you are what you ought to be. The interrelated structure of reality. Now think about what he's saying. You can't be free. You can't be liberated. You can't be whole until the body is whole. If the body is divided, you're going to be divided. You will get half of what God has in store for you. Until we understand our interdependence, our interrelatedness, that we need one another to experience what God has in store for us before it's too late. We need and we support one another. As a matter of fact, Paul says, I planted, but I needed Apollos to come and water. I needed him to fill that role. We need all of our voices. We all have a part to play. And we need you to do your part. We need you to find out what your gifts are and how God is using you. But Paul makes sure that whatever we do, whether we're a building, whether we're a body, or whether we're co-laborers in the field, he says, Christ is our foundation. We can't build on anything else. All of our lives, that is the fundamental core. We may have difference of opinion about what color to paint the walls, but at the bottom line, it is Christ that unites us. Like branches on a tree, we will all grow in different directions, but we're all tapping into the same root source. It's the same source. And whenever we start sawing off limbs, we're just killing ourselves. Paul says, understand at the very core, it is God that makes all these things grow. So if we're going to be a people that is truly blessed, that recognizes the blessings that God has for us, and then is able as a community to be a community that is blessed, we have to understand what God is doing in our midst. We have to know what our assignments are. We have to know that we are interdependent. We need one another in order to be whole, and that our foundation is that Christ is nurturing us all. So as we move forward, let's think about focusing on becoming a church for the ages. For all ages, let's look backward at our history and our legacy and our survival, and let's give thanks. Let's look forward and let's trust God into the future. An uncertain future, to be sure, but let us risk and say, God has gotten us this far. We're willing to take the journey into the future. Let us trust and let us be open. Let us look around and find places where we can serve one another, where we can do our part, where we can play a role, a vital living force in our world. And finally, when all of that comes together, you will find you will be able to look inside and say, God has been with me always. I want to end this morning with two stories. There's a story from A.W. Tozer that told about the church is like having 100 people with 100 different pianos. Each of you has a piano. And the teacher gets up and says, now I want you to tune yourself to one another. So everybody starts playing, trying to get tuned to one another. And he said, pretty soon, because you're hearing different voices, everybody is out of tune. Everybody is going off in different tangents, and everybody is off tune, until finally somebody steps in with a tuning fork. And they hit that tuning fork and said, this is the true middle C. Tune to this. He said two things immediately happen. First of all, your piano will be perfectly tuned. You will hear what that middle C should be, and you can tune your piano accordingly. He said the second thing that will happen, that is almost a surprise, is you will be tuned to everybody else. As soon as you keep your eye on who Jesus is, the life that Jesus offers to you, and the mission to which Jesus has called you, you will find that middle C. The second one is a story or a cartoon. I love watching the truth that comes out of the Peanuts cartoon. There's a cartoon where Linus is sitting in front of a TV, watching TV, and Lucy comes in and says, change the channel. And in the next frame, Linus says, why should I change the channel? And she said, she holds up her hand. She said, now individually, each of these fingers doesn't really matter very much. She said, but when they are curled and they are united, they are a force to behold. And in the next frame, Linus says, what channel would you like? But the real power of that cartoon is the very last frame. It's Linus all by himself looking at his hand. And he says, now, why can't you guys get together like that? And I wonder sometimes if the Apostle Paul would have nodded his head as he looked back at the Corinthian church and said, now, why can't you guys get together like that? Why can't you be a force to behold? A force of blessing and of joy and of triumph. A mountain that stands as a testament to what God is able to do. A voice in the darkness. A light for those that are looking for a new way to live. But factions had overtaken the Corinthians and they were falling apart. Paul saw more that they could become more. And I wonder sometimes as we come together as a community, that we are united with celebrations, with opportunities to get involved in the different missions for the Bible studies, so many activities to draw us together. If we can hear the voice of Christ coming into the midst, I have chosen you to be my ambassadors, to share the good news, to join your lives together that you may be my people in this place and at this time. When you move forward, when you leave this sanctuary this morning, the question that I want you to think about are two questions. We are all here to participate. What is your calling? What is your part to play? And are you ready? Are you ready to join the cause and lift up Jesus wherever you are? Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks for this day and for the celebrations that you offer to us. We ask, O God, that you continue to work within us to be your people, to share our gifts and our graces joyfully and gratefully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us continue to worship God by the giving of our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings.